Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Say thank you to each and every last one of you for dialing in on tonight. You are now once again tuned into Are You, it's personal, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, I'm so excited, as always, to have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. He will be delivering God's word up tonight, as always, on every third Thursday night. Overseer Jackson always deliver a powerful word from the Lord. So please get your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready so that you can be able to follow along. God's word reminds us that my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And you cannot know, you cannot talk about what you don't know. So I'm going to ask all listeners if you would go into prayer with me, because we do serve an awesome God. We don't have to send him anywhere. He's everywhere at the same time. We want to continue to lift up all the people over in Turkey and Syria and the loss of all of those thousands. Close to 30,000 people have lost their lives or more. And I think they're still trying to dig out survivors. We want to keep those people in prayer. Again, Turkey and Syria. We want to continue to keep in prayer Pastor Ron Todd Sr. He is the pastor of the historic St. James Baptist Church here in Detroit, Michigan. We also want to keep in prayer Pastor Lionel Jackson, the pastor of the Sonora Baptist Church, where I grew up at, Sonora Missionary Baptist Church on the east side of Detroit, Pastor Lionel Jackson. We want to continue to lift up minister Dan Alford and his wife. We also want to continue to lift up Deacon Marvin Cox. You know, he always brings forth and shares inspirational poems and deliver God's word on his ministry platform. So we want to continue to lift up Deacon Marvin Cox and his wife, Betty Cox. They both suffered strokes. He's at home now, and they both are recovering from the coronavirus again. We want to continue to lift up Mother Essie Titt from Greensboro, North Carolina, who just returned home from rehabilitation after suffering a stroke. She's at home now, and while she was in the hospital and also recovering from the stroke, she lost her youngest son who passed away over 3 weeks ago. So they allowed her to attend his homegoing service over 3 weeks ago. But now she is home from the hospital and rehab. So we're going to keep all those people that we have called off by name. We're going to continue to lift them up in prayer. And also my niece, Latrice Curtis, who had serious surgery on last week, but she's now home recovering. So we thank God for that surgery going well. Again, we know that God is a God. He's everywhere, and we don't have to send him anywhere. So lift up all those people in prayer as we go to God's throne of grace on tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for who and all that you are. We bless your name. Because no matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, you're still worthy of our praise. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that you've always established in the earth. We thank you for being a promise keeper, that you're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that are being faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. We thank you for your word that's going forth through your men and women of God that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And not only them, but all those that believe on the name of Jesus Christ and have accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, we love you right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, you know that the names that we just called off, again, we don't have to send you. We're grateful that we don't have to send you anywhere. You are everywhere at the same time. So you know, and you're hearing our prayer, and we know that you are a hearing and prayer answering God. So move by your spirit in each situation that you would get the glory out of each situation as we call off those different names on tonight for our prayer list. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your grace and your mercy on tonight. We don't take it lightly or for granted. We thank you for your grace and mercy that you extend to each one of us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, for his great sacrifice on the cross, that he paid his sin debt with his own sinless blood on the cross. And because he loved you so much, that he loved mankind so much as well, that he gave his life, he sacrificed his own life and his precious blood to pay our sin debt. A debt that he did not owe, but that he knew was a debt that we could not pay. For this, we are grateful in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for opening the doors throughout all the prisons all over the United States that they now can hear your word through this worldwide ministry and platform. For this, we are grateful as well. So have your way out tonight that you will get the glory. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in us individually and as a corporate body of believers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I do want to say, I'll give a shout-out real quick to my pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark T. Holloway, and my Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church family. Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church is also located in Harper Woods, Michigan. We get ready to go to our music break, but before we do that, I do want you all to know that we do have another spiritual food for thought, as we always do. And tonight it comes to us saying, family are like branches on trees. We all grow in different directions, but yet our roots remain as one. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Family are like branches on trees. We all grow in different directions, but yet our roots remain as one. I do welcome all comments and feedback from our listeners. You can always email me at james_brown558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. I want to give a shout out real quick to Brother Scott McIntyre. This young man is a man of God. He's physically blind. I happened to run across him on the TV show American Idol, which is a worldwide television program. I happened to meet him on American Idol, and I've sent a donation to his ministry, and he has been on my show as a guest, him and his wife. Again, he is physically blind, but God is truly using this young man, and he and I are not like brothers in Christ now. We are family, but we always keep in contact with each other. He and his wife are now traveling all around the world ministering in song and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So people are being saved through that ministry. That's, once again, Brother Scott McIntyre. I want to say give a shout out to him and his wife, Christina. We're going to go to our music break right now. We're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. I pray that you all have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along. Enjoy the music break. I'm going to do the other version of that song in just 1 second. What it looks like, because of who he is, he deserves our total praise. So once again, I pray and hope that you all have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along with my guest on tonight, my brother in Christ, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. I now yield the mic to you. Oh, don't forget, listeners, that once he finished with the message on tonight, I will once again be opening up the phone lines after he concludes with tonight's message. Overseer Jackson, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. So happy to be with you tonight. And to all of the saints of God, we give you honor. To all of those to whom honor is due. The late Emily Brown Bibby, who used to be a tremendous evangelist in the Church of God in Christ, used to say, we give honor to all we know to call and those we don't know to call so that we just get a hold of everybody. We get a hold of everybody and everybody who wants you to call them. We're giving you all honor tonight. We thank God for his goodness, his mercy, and his kindness. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. We're certainly going to be glad and rejoice in it. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned. I'm concerned about what I'm seeing. I'm concerned about the things that are happening in the face of the earth. And tonight I just wanted to come to encourage somebody, to let them know that you're somebody special. You are somebody special. And people need to know that, because people will make you feel as though you're dirt, you're nothing. But you are somebody special. I found that the other night when I was in prayer. And when I was talking to the Lord, I said, you know, God, I'm nothing. And I'm not T.D. Jakes. I'm not Tony Evans. I'm not this person. I'm not that person. But I'm just coming to you in a mode of prayer. And the Spirit of the Lord stopped me cold. And he said, son, I told you before that you are somebody in Christ. As long as you're in me, you are somebody. Do you understand? You are somebody. You are my son. And because you are my son, you have access to me. And because you have access to me, I listen to you because you know how to get my ear. And just as Bartimaeus was able to get my ear, you can get my ear as well. And so you are somebody. I hear your prayer, and I answer your prayer. And he said, just as I said to Gideon that day that I found him in the wine press where he had taken his wheat in order to hide it from the Philistines, I called him out. I said, Gideon, thou great man of valor. Gideon looked at me and said, like they used to say on one of those shows, who you talking to? And God said, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You're a great man of valor. You don't even know who you are, but I know. And we're going to learn about who you are tonight. You're somebody in Christ. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness. We ask you now in the name of Jesus to touch us, anoint us. Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And God, you got to let the Spirit of the Lord move in me tonight. Less of me and more of you. Somebody needs a word. Somebody needs to be encouraged. Somebody needs to know they can make it through this storm. Somebody's wondering how they're going to make it, God. Somebody's wondering about how they're going to pay that bill. Somebody's wondering about a child that is messed up and doing some crazy things. Somebody's concerned about their marriage. Somebody, God, is concerned. Somebody is in a state of depression, and somebody, God, is thinking about throwing their hands and walking away. But I come to you tonight saying, God, have mercy and move on each and every one of them. Bind the hand of the enemy that has come against them, God, and let them know that you hear their cry. My God, my Father, move in a spectacular way. Prove yourself so that they'll turn around and say, and God did that thing. My God, and God did that thing. He did the impossible tonight. Huh? Glory to God. We thank you, and we magnify your name. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We'll let you know, God, that after this, there'll be glory. And, God, we're going to give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you. Have your way now. In the name of Jesus, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name, we pray and thank you. The devil be rebuked. Have your way, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. You know, I really hope, and Brother Brown, you said something that really moved me. And I learned this week that you don't know how powerful your prayers can be. And you will never know until you really meet God. You will never know where your prayers went to. I know Dorothy Norwood was in line when she said, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me. And she said, I'm so glad they prayed. I'm glad they prayed. I went to God the other night in prayer, and I said, Lord, in Turkey and in Syria, there are people that are still trapped. I know it's been days, but God, at that time, 22,000 people had gone into judgment. I said, God, there's somebody still trapped in that rubble. But I need you to encourage their hearts right now. And then, Father, I need you to send somebody to them and bring them out of that rubble. And the next day, as I was watching television, I saw them pulling children out of the rubble. I saw them pulling a woman with her daughter. And I began to praise and magnify God because the Spirit of the Lord said, they're saved because you prayed. Hey, glory to God. Because you asked me, I brought them out. Because you asked me, glory to God, I brought them out. You don't realize the power of your prayer. You don't realize the power of your prayer. If you can get the ear of God, my God, if you can just stop him and get his ear, he'll do some tremendous things for you. My God, I can say I've already preached. Hallelujah. God, my Father, prayer changes things. You hear what I said? And if it don't change things, it'll change you. So that you can deal with the circumstance. Glory to God. Prayer changes. Let me move on because I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited on this end. Hey, and I'm not even where he asked me to go, but I'm getting excited. That's why the songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God for saving me. I've got to say this because since I last saw you, I was in a situation where because I had a heart attack 8 years ago, there's some medicine that I have to still take. And I never realized how much the medicine costs because I've got good insurance. But it wasn't until the other evening. Sometimes God will pull things away from you and take you through a crisis point to make you see how good he is and how kind he is and what he can do for you. And I want you to know, I found myself in a situation where there was a company that was supposed to help me pay for the medication. And the copay for me was $125. And they stopped paying the $125, which meant that at that point all I had to pay was $10 for the medicine. But I did not know until this happened, when the company said that they would not help me to pay the $125. I wasn't beside myself. I said, God, I can pay it. You gave me the money. I'll just write it off on income tax. But when I called the pharmacy to get a refill, the man said, your medication is ready, but your copay is $1,320.
Jesus.
I said, did you make a mistake? I said, I have insurance. They paid for it. They said, sir, the pill costs $4,300 a month. I said, what? He said, the pill costs $4,300 a month. They paid $3,000, but you got to pay $1,300. I went to God in prayer, and I said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I need you to work a miracle for me. I don't want to deal with this like this, but I'm asking you to prove yourself to me. I walked uprightly before you. You said you would give me the desires of my heart. When I went and called my doctor and told him what to do, my doctor called me in and said, I need to talk to you. When I went to see him, the doctor gave me a month of prescriptions for free. Then they turned around and hooked me up with somebody who called the company. And don't you know, a week later, they called me back and told me, go pick up your medicine. It won't cost you a dime. They're going to pay for everything from this point forward. Don't tell me God won't answer prayer.
Yes, he will.
I said that for somebody because you're going through something. You're dealing with a situation, and you're wondering how you're going to make it through. If God did it for me, he'll do it for you. He said he was no respecter of persons, and you've got to call him into remembrance of his word. My God, to him be the glory. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. You see, God let me know. He said, you know what, son, I just want to see how you would act. I wanted to see if you would go berserk. I wanted to see if you would get upset, but you kept your cool. and you came to me, and you talked to me, and you believed me, and because you believed me, I worked it out for you. But I wanted you to see how I had been blessing you, and you didn't know it all along.
Lord,
I want
Jesus.
You to know God will open up your eyes and your understanding if you just allow him to. My God, let's go to where we got to go to tonight. Let me move on. All right. In 1 Samuel verse 1. Then Samuel asked. Oh, no, I don't want to go there. I went to 11. I'm sorry. Let's go to verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil, and go to Bethlehem. Find the man named Jesse who lives there. For I have selected one of his sons to be my king. When they arrived, verse 6, when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. Then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? There is the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome, with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. This is the one. Anoint him. And the message tonight is, this is the one. This is the one. You have to understand what's going on. There's a drama going on here. And when you read the scripture, you ought to go back and read the whole story to find out what's going on, why things are going down the way they're going down. I'm in a teaching mode tonight, so just bear with me. You got to understand what's happening here. Saul, the king of Israel, was chosen to be king by Samuel by default, because the people got tired of God being their king, and they wanted a king like everybody else had all around them. It's a bad thing to want what other folks have, especially when you got something as good as they had. It's a bad thing to look on the other side thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. You don't know what they had to go through to get what they got.
Yeah, that's right.
Samuel told them, you don't want what you're asking for, but they did not believe Samuel. God said, oh, they didn't reject you, Samuel. They rejected me. Give them what they want. Let me show them what they're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said that Samuel went to anoint him. When he saw Saul, Saul was taller than any of the other people around him. He had broad shoulders. He had tapered waist, tall. Saul was somebody special.
Yeah.
Samuel anoints him king over Israel, and God blesses him to subdue his enemies. God blesses him in a tremendous way to do some things, but it's a sad thing that when God does things for you and you turn around and think that he didn't do it, but you did it yourself, you put yourself in a bad situation.
Yes, Lord.
Saul forgot who he was. God gives him a command and tells him to go into a particular area and kill everything. Don't take none of the animals and kill the king. Kill everybody. But Saul, once he wins the war, decides he's going to do his own thing. You can't do your own thing and think God is going to let you get away with it. You got to come to grips with the fact that you don't want to overstep your bounds with God. And you can come to a place where you can do some crazy stuff because God will let you go. You hear what I'm saying? You do enough foolishness, God will let you go. Because he said he won't strive with you forever. You look in the book of Romans, he said when they knew God and turned their backs on him, God gave them over. You don't want God to say, you've gone too far. I don't want nothing to do with you. And that's what he did with Saul. Saul did disobey God. And when Samuel came into the camp, he heard the bleating of the sheep. He heard the cows mooing. He heard the oxen doing their thing. And Samuel said, What is this I hear? Why are these things living? He said, well, you know, we kept them because we thought we would sacrifice them to God. He said, that's not what God asked you to do. And he turned around and he said, why is the king still alive? And he said, well, and Samuel took a sword and killed the king and made them kill the animals. And then he turned around and said, let me tell you, because you disobeyed God, because you became proud in your own way, the Lord has rejected you. And the Bible said that when Samuel turned and walked away, the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. And God sent an evil spirit to torment him. You don't want to get on God's bad side.
I know that.
And the Bible says Samuel went to crying, and Samuel went to pleading before God. God, give him another chance. Give him another opportunity. And God turned around and told Samuel, shut your mouth and dry your tears. Don't you shed another tear for him. I rejected him. There's nothing you can do. Sometimes your prayer ain't going to change God's mind. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes God will not change his mind because of the prayer that you prayed. You've got to learn how to walk with God and deal with God on his own terms. There's some prayers he's not going to answer.
That's right.
Or if you don't get an answer, he's answered. If you don't get an answer, then he's answered you.
That's right.
You just got to learn how to wait on him. But he rejected Saul. And he told Samuel, he said, I got somebody else in mind. I need you to go to Jesse's house. Now look at what God does. He gives specific instructions. You see, God knows where you are. Folk may have forgotten you. And folk may think there's nothing about you. Folk may think you have no ability to be of any service in the kingdom. Have you ever been one of those people who have helped other people in their ministry and helped them to get to where they are? And when they get to where they are, they forget you?
Yes, Lord.
They forget about you. They forget about the sacrifice that you made. They forget about the money you put into the ministry. They forget about the time. They forget about the talent. They forget about the things that you did for them to get them to where they are. But they suddenly forget you now that they have arrived. You're no more use to them. You're no more use to them. And they make you feel like there's nothing to you, like you got nothing to offer. But God knows where you are. And many of us have been hidden for a purpose, because if you got out there like some of them have gotten out there, you might have gotten messed up like many of them are already messed up.
Lord,
the anointing that's on your life you might not have, because you would have got messed up because you got hooked up with the wrong people. God has you hidden.
He hid David.
He hid David in the sheep's quarter. But when he got ready to bless him and ready to bring him forth, didn't Jeremiah said, I know my thoughts towards you. They're not of evil, but of good. And he said, I want to bring you to an expected end. David's expected end was about to come play. And God is saying to somebody tonight, your expected end, I'm bringing you to it right now. Your due season is about to come. Your due season is about to come. People have written you off and said there's nothing to you, nothing to the gift that I gave you, but I'm getting ready to show them and show the world that I put something in you for a purpose.
That's right.
This is the one. This is the one. This is the one. And he told Samuel where to go. And he even gave Samuel a plan so that Saul would not know what was happening. And he got Samuel to Jesse's house. And he told Jesse, I came to be a blessing to one of your sons. God wants to do something unusual out of them. He didn't tell them what was going to happen. He just wanted to put an anointing on him. Because even though he anointed him, David didn't become king right away. It took a few years for him to reach the throne. But he was anointing him for the job that he was getting ready to do. And the Bible said that when Samuel got in the presence of the seven sons, now Jesse had eight sons, but look at what he did. He only presented seven and made David stay on the sheep field.
Mm-hmm.
As though David wasn't important. He said, I need to see all of your sons, but he only sent seven. And look at what Samuel does. Samuel looks at the first child, Eliab, and he says, oh, my God, this man is tall. He's robust. He's attractive. He's got kingly bearing. This surely must be the person that the Lord has chosen. And God said, not so, Samuel. He said, Samuel, you're doing what a lot of people do. You're looking at the outward appearance. But I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at his heart. You see the way he's structured. You see the potential that he might have, but I see him as he is.
Ooh, my God.
He's not the one. He's not the one. He is not the one. You see, Samuel, I got to show you something. I'm going to tell them a little later on. Many are called, but few are chosen, and he only chooses a few to lead the many. He's not here, Samuel. This is not the one. You're looking at the outward appearance, and that's some of the things that some of y'all got to stop doing. Stop looking at people around you for what they have and what they're doing. God knows what you need and how to bring out the best qualities that are in you.
Oh, yes, sir.
And the Bible said that Samuel looked at all of the other six brothers and said, Jesse, ain't none of these the one. Now, I know what the Lord told me. See, when you walk with God, you can hear God speak. When you walk with God, your ear goes to the mouth of God. You can hear God. The Bible said, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and another they will not hear. You know what God has said when you can walk with him and talk with him because you have a dialogue and a relationship. Samuel had a relationship, and that's the problem with some of us today. You ain't got no relationship because you don't spend no time with him.
Look out now, tell the truth, saying the devil.
Too many people are spending a whole lot of hours on Facebook. Answering a lot of foolishness, putting your business out in a public domain when you should have kept it to yourself, spending hours on Facebook. But how much time do you spend in the Word with your face in the Word of God? How many times or how much time do you spend in prayer? These are the things that help you to become strong in the faith and give you the encouragement that you're going to need to fight the fight that we have to fight today. Let me put a pin there for a moment. Do you realize the times in which you are now living? Jesus described the times that would come about before he would come back again, and the church is acting like an ostrich and putting its face in the sand, and they're not seeing the signs of the times that are letting you know that Jesus is on his way back again.
Oh, yes,
we used to teach that. We used to teach that. We used to teach that. When I was coming up, they taught us to be on the lookout. Jesus is on his way back. But because he's delayed, folk have gotten lackadaisical. The Bible said that in the last days that the love of many would grow cold because of the pandemic. Folk ain't even going to church anymore. Because of the pandemic, they're doing their own thing. Millions of people sat up and watched the Super Bowl last Sunday, but how many people went to church that day?
I know that's right. Look out now.
Acting like ain't nothing going on. I just read on the news today where a man in D.C. Lured somebody into his home, cut off the man's head, and put him in a trash bag and buried him in his backyard. What kind of foolishness is this? When you turn around and you see all the shootings that are taking place at the mall, the devil has pulled out all stops. He's not playing games.
Oh, no.
He realizes that his time is short, and he's doing everything he can to be a destructive force. And you acting like you don't see what's going on and what's happening. Jesus is telling you, ready or not, here I come.
Look out now. Yes, sir.
It's time to wake up out of your foolishness. Time to wake up and realize I'm on my way back. I'm on my way back. Samuel, tell him these are not the people. Not one of them is the one that I've chosen. Ask him if he's got another son. And he looks at Jesse and says, you got another boy somewhere? And Jesse says, yeah, I got one. But ain't nothing to him. He's out on the. And Samuel looked at him and said, bring him here. We won't eat dinner until he comes in here. I know he smells of sheep. I know he been hanging with them. He ain't got time to take a bath. He ain't got time to put on no nice clothes. Just bring him to me. And they went and got him. And when he walked into the house, the Spirit of the Lord said to Samuel, this is the one. Anoint him. And the Bible says Samuel anointed him in the front of his brothers. You know, that's what I love about God. The Bible says God will prepare a table before you. What? In the presence of your enemies. You ought to thank God you got some enemies, because God's getting ready to prepare a table for you in their presence. You think they're angry now? Wait till they see what God has done for you. God's going to invite them to the party. God's going to invite them to the party that he's getting ready to throw for you. And if you think they're mad now, wait till you see how they feel when they see God using you in a tremendous way, because you are the one. You are the one. You are the one. God has anointed you to do a work. God has anointed you to be a blessing to the people around you. God has placed you in a position where you can be a blessing to folk that nobody else will be able to touch.
Yes, sir.
God is doing something special in you because you are the one. You are the one. You may think you don't have the great talent of a T.D. Jakes. You don't have to have it. God has designed you to do for him what only you can do. Jakes can't do what you were ordained to do. You got to do it yourself.
Amen. That's right.
Glory to God. You got to do it yourself. God has something specific he wants you to do.
Oh, yeah. It's personal.
And he's positioning you to be the blessing to those around you. Why do you think you're in the community that you're in? Why do you think you're on the job that you're on? Why do you think you're in the family that you're in? Because God wants to use you so that folks can see him in you. And through you, you can be a witness like Lazarus was. Do you know Lazarus didn't have to open up his mouth? When Lazarus walked into a room, everybody knew who he was because the word had spread. What Jesus had done for him. He was a living testimony. We used to sing the song, I am a living testimony. Should have been dead and gone, but Lord, you let me live on. I am a living testimony. God wants you to be a living testimony. That when you walk into the room lights up. Don't you realize that darkness has to flee when light comes into the room? That's why God has commissioned you to walk into the rooms of darkness and spread the light. You are the lighthouse that somebody has got to see. You're going to bring them in from the world of sin into a knowledge of who Jesus is because of who you are, because he has positioned you, because this is the one. You are the one. You are somebody in him. Never again say that I'm nothing. I don't even sing that song that talks about such a worm as I. I'm sorry, I'm no worm. I'm because I'm in him, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You can't hold over me the things that I once were in. You see, I'll tell you where I came from, but like the movie Top Gun, you may not be able to handle the truth if I told you what God brought me out of. You may not be able to handle the truth. God.
Lord, have mercy.
Songwriter said, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. We used to sing another song. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Why? Because I got a story to tell. But can you handle the truth? That's why Paul said, and such were some of you. Everybody got a past, but every saint got a future. You hear what I'm saying? You can't hold my past over my head because God told me he took it and threw it into the sea. We call it the sea of forgetfulness. He said, but he threw it into the sea and remember it no more.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if you go down into the sea trying to find it, I hope you drown. You can be a scuba diver if you want to, but I hope you drown in your own sin. I'm sorry. God has been good.
Yes, sir.
Can you handle the truth? You see, God will specifically design you to go through things so that when you see other folk going through what you're going through, he will strategically put you in their pathway to let them know he has a way out. That's why you went through what you went through. Everybody couldn't handle what you went through because everybody doesn't have the mentality that you have. You got to be strong to deal with some of the stuff you did. Because some folk would have done drugs. Some folk would have taken their lives. Some folk would have been in jail. But God gave you the ability to handle the situation even though it was difficult for you. But when he brought you out, well, glory to God, when he brought you out, you went another way, like the three wise men. When they left Jesus, the Bible said they went another way. That's what happens to us when we meet Jesus. We go another way. We're not the same anymore. And so you are the one. You're somebody. You're somebody in him. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you let the devil tell you you're nobody. You are somebody in him.
Oh, yeah.
And because you're somebody in him, take the time to talk to him. Develop your relationship. It's important now, folks. Believe me, it's important, and I'm through. It's important. That's why you got to have some prayer time. You got to have some prayer time. The Bible says you got to find a quiet place to slip away into. And the Bible said, when you go in there, close your door. And when you talk to him, he said, you've gone in secretly, but he'll reward you openly.
Yes, he will.
He'll do for you what no other Holy Ghost power can do.
Ooh,
if you just give him the opportunity. And you'll be able to say, like my mentor said, and God did that thing. Oh, God. And the Lord did that thing. You hear what I'm saying? You thought it was impossible, but God did that thing. I cried some tears, but God did that thing. I went through changes, but God did that thing. Hallelujah. That's why we say he brought me out of the miry clay. Place my feet on the rock to stay. Glory to God. He brought me out. Why? Because this is the one. Father, we thank you. We praise and we honor. We bless you. Oh, God, help your people tonight to know who they have on their side. Be God in every sense of the word, God. Be God in their lives. and help them now in the name of Jesus to overcome and give them power over the devil. Let them know, God, that they have power over him. Oh, God, be with them now. In Jesus'
yes,
name we pray and thank you.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen. Ooh-wee. Overseer Jackson, all to you. Thank you, Jesus. I know there was nobody but God that sent that word our way on tonight. I think everybody on this line, including myself, even those on social media platforms around the world, even some that may be incarcerated behind prison bars for just and unjust reasons, this word was for all of us on tonight. Thank you for this word. Thank you for allowing God and the Holy Spirit to use you to deliver this much-needed word for such a time as this. Listen, Overseer Jackson, I'm going to share something with you that I just happened to find in my Bible, and it almost goes with this message on tonight. Now, this happened to be, I was a member of the St. James Baptist Church over 45 years. Now, I just happened to pull up a Men's Day observance when they had a program at the church back in 1987. And the theme was, is on a bookmarker, and it says the theme for that service was the search for God's anointed and God mastered men. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And that was found in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. So that kind of ties in with the message on tonight. Now, not only for men of God, but women of God as well.
Oh, yes, everybody.
He used women back in the Bible days. He's still using women.
Oh, yes.
So we just thank God for this word on tonight. This is the one. You, my sister, you, my brother, you are the one. Like
you
just said, we cannot do what Pastor Jakes was called, Bishop Jakes was called to do. We have to know our own place. We have to know our own divine purpose that's going to give God glory in the earth, that God will get the glory through our lives individually and then as a corporate body of believers for his glory. So we, again, thank you for this word of tonight. I am getting ready to open up the phone lines for those of you that have dialed in. Again, we know that we do have a lot of people that dial in, but some of them do not say anything. But thank God, we thank God for you for dialing in. We know those that are incarcerated behind prison bars cannot respond on tonight. Those that are on social media platforms cannot respond. But I have opened up the phone lines for all those that have dialed in on tonight. If you received this word, if you were blessed by this word, I know Sister Cheryl was blessed by it. If you have a word of encouragement, Overseer Jackson, the phone lines are open now.
Oh, my God. Do you know God has really used a word through you, not just on tonight, but the night that you have been on? You have been such a tremendous blessing to me. And I thank God for what you said, because there were some days I'm like, Lord, it feels like I'm walking all by myself. What is really going on? Family did this, over here did that. And I'm like, it seems like everybody is turning their back on you. And God reminded me through you tonight that he did not turn his back on me.
No, no.
But he had to hide me.
Hey, glory.
And I thank God that he hid me, because there was a thing that was ahead of the road that looked like destruction. Dead ends. All of that. So I thank God for using you to bring forth a powerful and mighty word. And I pray, my prayer each time that you come on this line, that you have a testimony that God is literally going to blow your mind. Each time that you open your mouth, that he blows your mind. What area of your life that you need a blessing, God said it's already here. Your blessing is already here.
Oh,
even
God,
when you're blessing the people on the line, you are really blessing yourself when you speak a word. So know that God has a blessing, more blessings on top of blessings with your name on it. And that goes for you as well, Brother Brown. That's all I have to say.
Well, you said enough, because I tell you, you have encouraged me tonight. You have been a blessing to me. That the one thing that I wanted, you know, let me say this quickly before I forget it. To those that have been incarcerated, you may think that this has been the worst thing that could have ever happened to you, but I got you to know something. God's got you. God's got you.
Yeah.
And God's going to use this circumstance to be a blessing to you. Some of y'all had to be put away to save your lives. But God is going to bring you out. Hallelujah. God's going to bring you through this madness. My Lord, my Lord. Thank you.
Amen. I touch and agree 100%. Listen, Overseer Jackson, I just want you to know that Sister Tara Doss, the young lady that just got through speaking to you, she is a member of the Peace and Milk World Baptist Church, where I am also a member. She happened to call me before we went live on the air, because she was in another meeting, event, and she was going to be dialing in late. But I saw her when her number popped up on my screen, and she and I kind of pressed on what you just talked about in the Word. So that was just confirmation, and you and I had not talked about that. She did not know what you were going to preach about on tonight. That's how the Holy Spirit works, and he always confirmed his word. So that was more encouragement for her. That was more encouragement for you as well as myself and all those others that have dialed in on tonight. So we just give God the glory on tonight. The phone lines are still open for anyone else that was blessed by this word. The phone lines are still open.
Yeah, God bless you, Cousin Jane. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Pastor.
All right. See, we are old enough. I'll find my husband now. We are old enough to have experienced the old saint. Come on. Huh? and so I'm saying it to make a point. See, God is holding us accountable. And I'm in agreement with your word, Pastor. I don't know what it's called, Pastor, Preacher. I'm in agreement because, see, the wheel has got to keep on being turned.
Yes.
Because God is, you know. And it ain't no new revelation. Come on, somebody. So the word says ain't nothing new under the sun. So we got to keep on turning this wheel. We must tell the story. We must tell it.
Yes,
you know, so people won't think it's new rhema. No. It's already been spoken already. So I'm in agreement with you. And God bless you, because we must tell it. We got to tell it.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. God bless you.
Amen.
All right.
Overseer Jackson.
Yeah.
That was my first cousin. Mm-hmm. That was Pastor Norman King. He is the pastor of the Victor's Outreach Ministry located in Greensboro, North Carolina. That was Pastor Norman
All
King
right.
speaking to you. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Anyone else?
Yeah, I enjoyed that word tonight. That was a powerful word.
God bless you, sweetheart.
You just keep on.
I'm going to try, sweetie. I'm going to try.
That was Pastor Norman King's sister, my first cousin, his sister, Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina.
All right. I really want to say to the pastor, I'm in complete agreement with him, because I've argued the point so many times that those of us that are older, that came up under the old church, we've got to contend for the faith that was
Amen.
Once delivered to the saints. We've got to put it out there like we had it, because this new mess ain't working. Glory to God. It ain't working. New mess
right.
ain't working.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. That's it. We got to hold up the bloodstained banner for the Lord, because this is a spiritual warfare that we're in, and we can't be conformed to this world, but we got to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we can't do that if we don't know the word. So the word of God said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. You got to get in that word. You got to stay in that word. And then you got to pray,
Amen.
Like you said in the message tonight. We got to pray, and then we got to stop talking, and then we can be able to hear God when he speaks back to us, because he got some things that he wants to tell us. If we're doing all the talking, then we can't hear him when he speaks.
Good work. Praise God.
Once again, I just thank God for this worldwide ministry platform, and I really truly thank God that he has opened the doors for all the prisons all over the United States, because I do get feedback from some of the prisoners that they are receiving this worldwide platform, and they are receiving my church pastor, my pastor Holloway, when he delivered the words on Sunday mornings and his Bible study and other ministry that I've shared with the prisoners all over the United States. They are actually receiving these words of encouragement. They are actually hearing God's word. So I thank God they do respond and let me know that they are thankful that they are being able to hear God's word. So that being said, again, over to objection, you continue to stay on the wall because you're doing a great work and you can't come down now. And so God's got even more mighty and greater things. He said greater works that we will be able to do because the work is, he said the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. And that's still true.
Labors are few.
Oh, yes. And that's the word of God. That's not my word. So I just want to encourage one another on tonight, as I always do, encourage one another, just like Overseer Jackson said in his word on tonight. Encourage one another in God's word. And I always add this on there, not with your feelings, not with your opinions, but with God's word. And when you do it that way, you know you can't go wrong and God will get the glory. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, this coming Saturday, I'm going to tune in and be blessed by another word from the Lord. Until then, good night.
Good night.
Good night.